Well, hello, folks. Welcome back. Once again, we're here. The worldwide broadcast of Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you guys are staying alert and awake and focused. How are you doing?
Well,
you with me this morning?
No, I'm here.
You're here.
I had a good prayer time this morning, and quite frankly, I'm a little bit upset about a few things. And
what you do now?
Well, this is not going to be our lead story, but you're going to have to. The synagogue of Satan's up to their no good again. We're going to cover it in a minute, but I'm not talking about start with. So you don't want to miss this story. So this time I need you to do me a favor, all of you. Put your seatbelts on. It's going to be a show.
Regular seatbelt or five point harness
with your bell or shoey helmet, which I still can't find my shoey helmet. I don't know where that thing is.
I don't know how you lose that big thing. It was like a double XL.
Oh,
nice helmet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I start on this awful story, why don't you do me a good story?
I got some great stories.
Let's do it.
Purple stick cans are on sales product of the week. It's one of the best stories of the day. Positive, at least.
Well, I had several of those this morning. Not
scoops?
Not cans.
I was about to say,
yeah.
My gosh.
And, man, I'm feeling it. And you know what I did, too, yesterday? I increased my black seed oil.
I haven't taken black seed oil in a while. You liking it?
Well, I took two doses of it, liquid. You know, the stuff that tastes like it's kerosene or something.
It tastes
right?
Like motor oil.
It does.
It's bad. We have it in capsule, though. I personally just can't stand the liquid. I'll be honest with you. The thing is, the problem is every time I take it, I start feeling better. Everything's kind of
well,
like...
Well, what it is, it's probably it's anti-inflammatory, yeah. and it throws like a wet blanket on cancer stem cells.
Yeah.
Right? And it really helps clean fungus out of the body. And it's, well, Muhammad, if you want to quote Muhammad... I'd rather quote Muhammad than Sabatini Zivi.
Oh, absolutely.
Or what was that his name? Schneerson or whatever his name was. I'd rather quote Muhammad. And he said it's a cure for everything but death. Quote. Now, you could sue Muhammad if you want. FDA, go after Muhammad. He's been dead for thousands of years, well, about 800 years, 1,200 years. But he says it's a cure for everything but death.
Well, I think what it does a lot of times, I've noticed, if you start feeling like you're going under the weather, you're getting sick, it's a good product to throw on there.
I was foggy yesterday.
Yeah.
But I was foggy enough that I took some extra purple sticks.
I was fucking up.
Okay. To try to wake up. And I thought, what's going on with me? But we'd eaten out the day before in Tampa, and I'd eaten some bread, and it may have had glyphosate in it.
I didn't even. Well, the bread was the bun on the burger.
No, I had that lamb wrap. And I thought to myself,
well, we went to this restaurant.
Oh, it was good food.
Yeah, it was really good food. So I'm big on the menu. It says we are a seed oil free establishment. Yeah. All the proteins we have, the chicken, the beef, all that, are all organic, non-antibiotic, basically, you know, pasture, farm-raised, grass-fed, all the fish
and
wild-caught.
And the place was packed. The
whole time.
Yeah.
And so I got a big old, there's an organic cheeseburger, smash burger, really good. Well, you know, most burgers come with fries. I don't opt for fries ever. I said, you guys have my attention now. I said, what do you guys fry your french fries in? He goes, we do an avocado oil.
Unbelievable.
I said
expensive.
Avocado oil. I said, you know, like mixed 100% avocado oil. I said, whoa, because you can't reheat avocado oil many times.
They probably use it one time a day.
Yeah, you got to swap it. B, it's unbelievably expensive. You know, retail on it for basically a liter of it, it's like $15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, 15, 20 bucks for a good set of it.
A deep fat fryer is going to take at least 2 gallons.
Yeah, yeah. 3 gallons. And so, I mean, even if they're using maybe not as high a quality or something, it's still avocado oil. It's really good stuff. I use it all the time as far as my eggs. And I said, okay, I'll bite. I don't normally eat fries. I'll try them. The burger came out. Incredible. Fries came out. First time in my probably like adult life that I've actually eaten multiple things of fries. They brought one out and you had some.
I had about a dozen.
I ate all of his. Yeah. And after I got done, I was like, oh. But here's the thing about it, though. I didn't feel bad after I ate them. They didn't mess my blood sugar up.
But I was foggy yesterday, though.
Were you foggy yesterday? So, you had that pita bread, though, with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was funny. So I took a couple more purple sticks, and I went to see that movie, Michael. And, okay, I don't want you to criticize me for this, because I was not and I'm not a Michael Jackson devotee. I am not. But I was curious how they were going to portray him, because he came up with that one song about being hosed over.
By it was the boys that love free air.
When he starts singing the song, Jew Me, Screw Me. You know, kike me. It was horrible lyrics. It was terrible. And right after that, he got discredited really fast. And so I thought to myself,
that always happens when the guys talk about
And here, let me say something. Here's why I saw that movie. I wanted to see his rise to fame and how he did it and who sponsored him and all that. And it covered a lot of that. But what was interesting to me, after he did that, also now he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
Now, whether he's a pedophile or not, I don't know. But I can say one thing, he was definitely strange. But you talk about a boy who could dance. Unbelievable. He was singing at the packed out stadiums with 80,000
people. Moonwalk's pretty dope. He came out with that. It was like, all right. Boys got it.
Now people are asking me, do I recommend the movie? Do I not recommend the movie? Yes or no? Yay or nay? Yeah, it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
I will. I'll say it was a pretty good movie. So I enjoyed it. I sat down beside a guy. It was so funny. I'm sitting there, and this giant guy walks in. Black guy. Oh, he's huge. 300-500 pounds. I don't even know what he was. He's huge, tall. And he sits beside me, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I looked at him. I said, dude, are you really going to sit beside me? You got two sisters next to you. I said, you're going to put two big dudes beside each other? I'm like, oh, great. He speaks, grunts. I thought, this is great. Probably don't want to make him mad.
Somebody weighs, well, they're 500 pounds. Like, they got to eat a lot. Dude, the whole time.
The problem is my 9mm doesn't work on a 500 pound.
Oh, my gosh, get out of here.
The guy was aggressive, man. So he's over there eating the whole time. I'm just joking. I wasn't going to shoot anybody. It was a joke.
Stop getting so serious. Sometimes I get emails from y'all. Y'all need to
take a chill pill for a second.
I say something about hunting gators. Somebody wrote me like a paragraph the other day. I write the first. You know, they got on me about hunting again. I'm like, God, dude, leave me alone. We add that. May 8th, permits open. We got to go hunting, dude. We got to get the gators out of here. Stop sending me emails.
Okay.
About only
okay. So anyhow, so he has like bags and bags of chips or whatever he's eating, and this giant thing with Coke. I mean, I don't even know what 5 liters. I'm being facetious, but it was huge. And so he's like trying not to lean on me, so he keeps leaning on his sister. She keeps yelling at him, and I'm like, oh God, and the seats are huge, but he doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And so finally, he goes through his 4 or 5 bags of chips. And then he starts, forgive me, he starts passing gas.
Right beside you? Gosh.
I mean, he's been breathing. You know, like, oh, okay. My nose doesn't work real well from a sense of smell standpoint. So I'm like, the place was sold out. So I thought, can't really move.
All I picture in my head is that scene from basically the Nutty Professor when they're at the dinner table and they're eating. Everybody's ripping and joking about it the whole time. That's all I see. I'm sitting there going, why'd you do this to me?
Well, no. And then finally he admits to it. He goes, I got to use the bathroom. I'm like, yeah, duh. We all know, right? And so he gets up and luckily walked the other direction. Otherwise, he wouldn't have cleared us because we had leg rests up. I'm like, that's all he needs is follow me. He'll crush me. And so he goes the other direction, comes down with bags of stuff again. More stuff.
More food?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but you get 500 pounds. You got to eat about 10,000
calories. I've never seen anybody go through a bag of stuff that fast. And another huge drink. I'm like, oh, great. Now here comes the gas again, right? And I'm like, this is great. Finally, the movie's over with. I'm like, we got to get out of here. It's enough. The stench is overwhelming.
You get it.
It must smell bad because my eyes are watering. I'm like, this is horrible. And it was horrible for him. But the movie's pretty good. And, of course, he has to talk the whole time. And I have a normal policy. Normally, if somebody's talking beside me, I'll say, you know, can you just chill out a little bit? But when they weigh 400 or 500 pounds and they're already passing gas and they're already cussing all the time, they're not in a foul mood. They don't care. You know, when somebody's that big and they got an attitude on them, they really don't care what somebody who weighs 200 pounds, who's 5'11", cares or thinks. Be like if somebody comes up to me that weighs 30 pounds and they're 3 feet tall and they say, here's what I want you to do, I'm going to be like, really?
It's like Stetson running up to you and telling you what to do.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever, man.
How was he last night? He came over to the house?
Oh, he's funny.
He's running around yelling at everybody again.
I'm reading a book to him. He gives me a book to read. Yeah. So we're sitting here reading. He makes it through two pages. He goes, no. And he throws the book back in my lap, jumps up, runs over, starts playing with the toys again. And then he wants ice. He loves to eat ice. And so then all of a sudden he drags me by the hand, drags me out. He wants to go to the pool and play with the stuff of the toys in the pool. I said, no, man, not tonight. You're not even wearing a swim diaper. This is going to work. I said, you have to get permission of your mom. So then he goes back in and plays. But he was Stetson. He was good.
When he wants something, you will know he wants it. Oh, he grabs you by the hand, and you're like, okay, yeah. I'm good.
But he was absolutely.
Talk to you the whole time.
But, yeah, let's do some health stuff.
Got some health stuff.
Oh, by the way, health stuff. If you're watching the show last night and you were sitting beside me in a cloud of gas, passing the gas at 500 pounds, here's some advice to you.
GHI cleanse.
In fact, why don't you just do like a 3-week fast and just get yourself cleaned up. And don't worry, it's not going to hurt you. You got plenty to live on. And remember, if you eat those kind of foods on an ongoing basis, you won't be 300 or 400 or 500 pounds with more than 300, 400, I guess. You'll be 500 or 600 pounds within a 2-year period.
Well, it's funny you say that. Dalton came by the office.
I love Dalton. Like another son from
me. Oh, yeah. So he used to run the collagen because he's in jiu-jitsu all the time, keeping his joints good. And he was talking about him and his wife were watching that show, Mike, 600 Pound Life.
Oh,
it's funny. He was joking about that. And this nutritionist came in. and he put him on a 1,200 calorie diet.
That's too low.
It was too low. But they did it for like 2 or 3 days. They said, oh, I can't do this. I'm going to be malnutritioned. And he goes, you're not going to be malnutritioned. He goes, you got like 4 years of extra food you've eaten in advance. You'll be okay. And so they were getting the caloric intake where it needed to be. And then they had him at like 3,000 or 4,000. And then their weight went up 3 pounds when they weighed him back in. He goes, how'd your weight go up? They go, oh, well, I had a couple extra cookies on top of that meal you told me I could have. And he goes, the cookies don't weigh 3 pounds, no. Buddy. It doesn't work like that. They come to find out, because it's a show, you know, it's a reality show. Come find out, and then the video goes back. They eat like 4 tubs of Bluebell ice cream. Me and him were talking about it, and I said, I understand a lot of people get an addiction with that, because the ultra-processed foods are addictive. But if you're working with somebody, if they're trying to help you,
don't lose
weight,
to them.
Yeah, and you're actually trying to do it, don't lie. Just be honest. Be like, hey, listen, I caved in. I broke down. I ate 15 cookies last night. I did. All right, what are we going to do to fix it? But don't sit there. I had a chicken salad sandwich for lunch, and that's all I've eaten the last 2 days. I don't know why my weight's up 8 pounds.
It's funny you say that.
It's insulting anybody that's trying to work with you.
I had a kid that we were all kids back then. I was in college. His name was Hamil, black guy. Speaking of black guys, don't start on me about the black guy stuff, okay? You can be my workout partner's black, so don't start on me with this, okay? But he's a black guy, and he probably weighed 300 pounds. Well, I helped him get down to 250.
Yeah.
Okay? So he was out for the weekend. You know, he was waiting on Friday, came back on Monday. He was like gaining like 15, 20 pounds. Yeah. I looked at him and said, what the heck did you eat? And you say, it's not pot. Yeah, it is. Your colon can weigh that much of junk in your colon.
Yeah.
And especially if you're gorging yourself. I had a cookie. I said, Hamil, stop it, man.
Cookie now. You
know, yeah, I had
you may have had a case of cookies.
Oh, yeah. So
one case.
But you know what's so funny with him? Years ago, I was watching a video, actually a live broadcast from the White House press room. And crap, he stood up and asked a question. This is Hamil.
No way. Are you serious? He never told me that.
Yeah. He was in the White House press room.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And I thought, I've never even been in the White House press room.
Well, this time, getting into health, and this is a really cool article. It's been revised a little bit more, and it's updated. I covered it about a year and a half ago, and it says the 12 health facts doctors want you to stop believing. And this is talking about more like natural doctors.
So these are health facts.
These are real facts. These are the facts that they've told all us for the last 20 years that we need to stop believing, meaning statins are good for you. We need to stop believing that. So here's some of the ones.
Let's do this.
This is a really, really cool article. It says, fevers are bad and you should lower your body temperature.
That's not true.
Through Tylenol.
No, well, it's true if they're too high.
Correct.
Because brain damage.
Fevers, in essence, in general, are not bad. That means your body's heating up, it's fighting off, and it's going to kill viruses. Remember, viruses can't live in the presence of very high heat.
That's why your body raises temperature to kill viruses.
That's what it does.
Now, here's a disclaimer right here.
Right. Yeah. Fevers of 103 to 105, fever in infants, require immediate medical care. That's a fact. But it says research has found that reducing low to moderate fever actually delays recovery while allowing the fever to run its course improves outcomes. Despite current medical guidelines, one study found septic patients who arrived at the emergency room with a high fever had a better chance of survival and shorter hospital stay when they allowed them to actually maintain a fever, obviously not getting to a dangerous level. But you know, I've known parents like this before. They've called me up, or they call Lan up, or they've emailed, oh, my child's got like a 100.1. They're like 10 years old. I'm like, they're okay. Well, no, they need Tylenol. They're going to bring the fever down. That's the worst thing you can do. Let the fever sit down.
But you need to monitor it.
You need to monitor
it. Now, what I'll do, sometimes when I feel like I'm coming down with something, I go hop in the steam room and sauna.
I rotate back and forth. That's more for adults.
You don't want kids because their core temperature raises too fast. But I'll do that just to elevate my core temperature. I've done it many times and then got healthy.
Basically, what it does, it induces a fever.
Well, what happens is some of these viral things cannot live in the presence of fever. And so when the body raises the temperature a little bit, just like they can't live in a certain presence of certain pHs, they just die. They stop replicating.
That's one of the reasons why you don't want to sit there and suppress a mild fever, especially if you're trying to get better, if you got something.
And if you have a problem with your heart or other kinds of health issues, don't do the hot saunas.
And also, if you decide to do the hot sauna, make sure you're drinking a lot of water
while you're doing it
the whole time. Mm-hmm. Throw some of the Aqua Trace minerals in it. Make sure you're staying very hydrated. He's got a sauna. We've done it before. I remember both of us years ago, we both caught something. I don't remember what it was. It was pre-COVID. I remember we went out of the sauna. And we had a big old gallon of water out the whole time. Every time we'd get out of the sauna and cool down, we'd basically chug a thing of water.
And I had a friend of mine. I listened to him. He's very careful. Be careful. I had a friend of mine who was drinking nothing but still, no trace mineral supplements, right? And he used to do the sauna steam room every day, which is unhealthy. And also, he started having health problems, started having ventricular fib. He had a magnesium deficiency.
Got to use the AquaTrace formula. Yeah, and you got to be taking the magnesium and the multiple.
You got to be taking. And if that happened, if you ever get to a point like that, get some organic chicken broth and use some of our Redmond salt and put it in there and drink a couple cups of it. It'll really help bring the electrolyte balance
back
into place. What's the next one?
Second one on here that we all need to stop believing. Taking antacids fix your heartburn.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Taking antacids just covers up the symptom and basically just cuts out all acid in your stomach so you don't have any more issues at the current time. The problem is they don't fix the issue. They said heartburn being caused by too much acid is a myth. High stomach acid can be a trigger for heartburn. Actually, many people with acid reflux have too little stomach acid. The burning sensation during about a heartburn happens when the lower esophageal sphincter, group of muscles near the esophagus, relaxes, allowing stomach acid to flow back in the esophagus. It says consuming large portions, fatty or fried food, alcohol, caffeine, or laying down after a meal can trigger that lower esophageal sphincter to relax.
Okay, now, number one, that's true, but it's not accurate all the way.
Right, okay.
Okay. When you... I wish I had a chew. Okay. Well, I don't use this. Okay. This is your esophagus, right? It's a tube. You have your throat up here. You're dumping food in here. It gets down to your stomach right here. And what happens is there's an esophageal sphincter right here that closes when it detects high enough concentrations of acid. Okay. That closes that off so you don't have acid reflux.
Right.
Now, if the acid's not high enough, then what will happen is, you know, it won't close. And so when you lay down or when you're standing, you start burping, you start having acid reflux. And you start, oh, God, I got to take an antacid. No, that's exact opposite of what you need to do in some cases. In some cases, you may have something wrong with your esophagus or your stomach, so you have to be careful with that too. But most of the time, you can use mustard with your food.
What about digestive enzymes?
Digestive enzymes are fantastic, okay? The digestive enzymes, they work pretty much every time. You take however many you need with that. That elevates the acid in your stomach, closes the esophageal sphincter, and stops it. But what they would tell you to do is take antacids. It's the exact opposite of what you need.
Yeah, or they tell you to go on like Prilosec, proton inhibitor.
Forever.
To shut down your acid production. And if people don't realize now, the long research we've realized is that these PPIs, they shut down your stomach acid, so they stop the heartburn. The problem is you stop digesting food properly.
There you go.
You get your small intestines, it can't digest. Nothing's broken down. So you start having all these other health problems in your stomach. And I've known people that have been on these proton pump inhibitors like Prilosec for years, and they try to come off of them. And then what happens is you have this rebound effect. Mm-hmm. So you come off the inhibitors, and also you have this massive influx of acid, and your stomach's unbelievably acidic, and it can actually lead to esophageal erosions. So you got to be really careful. Those proton pump inhibitors, man,
they're meant to use very short period of time.
Meant to be used if you have like an ulcer or an erosion that you need to let heal up and you need to suppress the acid for a week. Remember, the stomach lining, it can heal very, very quickly.
72 hours.
This stuff right here heals up everything pretty much with the lining that I've pretty much found.
That's what the research shows. Making no claim on that product.
Making no claim. But every time you come down to like stomach lining, gut lining, it all comes down to a lack of collagen in some cases where the body can't heal itself. And then you start having a lack of nutrient absorption, so you can't produce more collagen, and it's a cycle that goes on and on and on. Then they put you on antacids.
That's right.
And they put you on proton pump inhibitors. That just causes more problems with it, so be very cautious of that. Another one here, too, it says avoid milk when you have a cold. This one I haven't really covered much on here. My opinion, I'm not a milk fan at all if it is pasteurized and homogenized. I just don't really touch it. I don't like it. I know enough about the research.
First of all, I agree with that. I agree to avoid milk when you have a cold. I agree to avoid milk all the time unless it's raw certified.
That's exactly what I was going to go out with.
Because what it says here, you know, it makes your mucus feel thicker. When I drink milk like that or eat ice cream, I'm stopped up the next day. I am.
Unless I'm eating raw.
Okay, so as far as that, I'd avoid dairy products in general, period.
Especially processed.
And if you have a cold, I think you need to avoid. What's the next one? I like this. This is fun.
Yeah. It says taking daily aspirin will prevent a heart attack.
It might.
Well, but the thing about it is they said the problem now is here is it also causes an enormous amount of bleeding events in other cases.
It does that too.
Taking too much of them. Mm-hmm. So
blood thinner.
Could it prevent a heart attack? Possibly. When used, taking aspirin every day for long periods, is that a good idea?
No.
Okay.
It can cause retinal detachment.
Okay.
It can cause macular degeneration. It causes the retina to come back. It causes wet macular degeneration. It can mess up your eyes. I know if I eat aspirin, if I take an aspirin or whatever, BC powder, whatever, if I'm not careful, if I do it more than very rarely, my eyes start getting kind of blurry. My vision does. You think, I'm just telling you what it does to me. You can do what you want to do. But I can also tell you take vitamin E.
Yeah.
You can take omega-3 fats. There's all kinds of natural ways. You can drink more water, for heaven's sakes. That's chlorine and fluoride free, like distilled. You can do all those things that'll thin your blood. Taking a blood thinner is what they normally give to people in doggone hospitals. This is how they killed my mother. Just to let you know that. That's how they killed her. They started giving her blood thinners because they weren't giving her enough to drink because she basically had to soil the bed when she drank or ate because she was in a diaper kind of thing in the nursing home, which is a horrible way to die. They started giving her all these blood thinners because she wasn't drinking anything, and they bled her out through her kidneys. Bled out. And then they bled her out the first week. They had to put her in a hospital and infuse blood into her. And they put her back in the doggone nursing home, and these blithering idiots gave her more blood thinners. And then she died in the middle of the night. You think, well, that's hard. I'm just telling you what they
it
did.
Happens
I, didn't, I did not have power of attorney with my mother. That never would have happened. But be careful with blood thinners. Be careful with aspirin. I'm not saying never use it, but I'd rather have to take aspirin than Tylenol. Let me put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But the 100%. Point, but these NSAIDs are really hard on your system, and they can cause problems. So I don't recommend personally taking an aspirin every day to keep the blood thin. I recommend drinking half your body weight in fluid ounces. You weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of water a day. That's a lot of water to drink. I don't want to hear it. Stop. I can't help that your body has water requirements. Don't fuss at me for that. I mean, I get fussed at all the time. It's always Ted's fault. No, it's not. It's not my fault that this is the way God made us. And I think it's a great way because you see, it keeps everything flushed out.
70% of the body's water.
Where, your brain. When you get older, you don't drink enough water. Your brain shrinks.
Yeah.
And now you can't think. That's one of the biggest problems we talked about with water pills the other day. For diuretics people take, for blood pressure and ankle swelling and all the other things. They don't get me started with all that. The reality is it'll shrink your brain. And they start having senile dementia and memory losses. I've got a friend of mine who stopped taking those several weeks ago.
Yeah.
He worked with his doctor, titrated back down, taking supplements, doing it. He's starting to think again.
Oh, yeah.
Brain's coming back. And he was being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and senile dementia.
Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of these drugs, the side effects from these drugs compound into more side effects mm-hmm. that get diagnosed as something else so you can have more drugs on mm-hmm. top of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a stair-step effect that's affecting a large percentage of the population in the United States now. And a lot of the things that we're constantly seeing are exacerbated through pharmaceutical drugs.
Was that a Led Zeppelin song, Stairway to Heaven? Was that song?
Yes. Long song.
This isn't a Stairway to Heaven. It's a Stairway to Hell.
Well,
that was a good segue.
Yeah.
Because you guys know that song. Because what's happening is, as you start to walk closer and closer to hell, walking down those stairs, and you step into that senile dementia hallway, and everything starts going dark on you, all of a sudden you think, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. This is the place where I don't want to be. Mama told me not to come. So here I am.
Dealing with stuff I didn't want to deal with.
Yeah. I see things I never want to see. And so when you start going down that hallway, you don't want to go there. And these drugs, in many cases, are that path down that stairway to hell. Just let you know.
Number five on here.
That was a good segue.
That was good. Doing sit-ups will flatten your stomach.
Oh, that's nonsense.
That's always nonsense. The miracle five-minute workout will flatten your stomach. I'll tell you, now, if you want to flatten your stomach, stop being so much crap.
Yeah, you can't flex fat.
80% of abs are in the kitchen all the time.
80% of what you look like is the kitchen.
Now, doing core exercises and keeping your lower back and your stomach and your core strong and doing exercises that you basically can handle, that is a very important factor, and it will tighten your midsection up when it comes to muscles and diaphragm. It can do that. But as far as shredding down, getting a tiny waist, having six-pack abs just from doing sit-ups, that doesn't work that way if you keep eating constantly.
Now, it will make your muscles in your stomach harder, though.
It will.
But,
that's what I said,
but sit-ups, I like hanging leg raises.
There's a lot of options for abs besides having to just straight sit-ups.
Every day I go in the gym, and this is my ab workout for the whole workout. I grab the bar, and I do 15 hanging leg raises at one set. You think, well, I could do that. Why don't you show me you doing that?
Well, think I like
without you swinging and falling off the bar. Now, be careful. I'm not picking at you. But you know I'm right.
No, hanging leg raises are great because they work out everything.
But a lot of people can't grip their own weight anymore. And so they think, well, I could do that. Okay. It's like what Kennedy was doing 22 pull-ups or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't do those right. He's 72 years old. But I know. I said, well, look, you're 50. How many pull-ups can you do? Well, I can't do a pull-up. Why are you criticizing the dude? Leave him alone.
I was shocked. It was like about a month ago. I was somewhere. I forgot where I was at. It was public gym. I was training with somebody. There were a couple people there, and they were talking about pull-ups. You know, I'm like, well, what's pull-up number on here? I'm still probably close to about 15 or 20. So I got up there, and I was cold. I got about 18 out of it.
You got 18 pull-ups?
Yes, 18.
That's pretty impressive. I bet you got sore, too.
Yeah, I haven't done them in a while. I struggle all the time, especially the Marine Corps. Marines love to run and do pull-ups. That's all they want to do and fight. Great. Love it. I'm almost 40 now, though. It's not that fun anymore. So I jumped on him, knocked him out sore the next day. Had him, everybody's watching. Like, one of the guys up there, he was kind of like talking crap. He gets up there. He barely hits like three pull-ups. And I didn't give him that hard of a time. But I'm like, if you can't put up, shut up. Stop running your mouth. If you can't do something, don't be sitting there running like you're a bad
I told you to put your seatbelt on.
No. I mean, for real, though.
Well, no. You remember when you were – I was up.
You let them rail out 20 clean Marine push-ups. You got some crap to talk to.
I remember when I was up. I think I was in my 40s. I remember that. And I remember you were young, and we went to the fair.
Yeah.
And they had a Marine Corps booth.
I still got the poster.
Yeah. And they said, if you do 15 pull-ups, you can...
I mean, I was like 6 or 7 years old.
If you can do 15 pull-ups, we'll give you a poster.
Yeah.
And if you do 25 pull-ups, we'll give you a hat. I'm like, 25? Hadn't done pull-ups in years. I jumped up, and I did 15 pull-ups.
Yeah.
The last one, I swung a little bit. He was in front of me. He was fussing at me. No, I did 15. He goes, well, you swung a little bit.
Yeah.
So now I did the next one, and I kicked him right in the crotch by accident. I remember that.
Well, he swung.
Yeah, a little bit. And then, so I got the poster after kicking him in the, testicles. And it was crazy, but we still have the poster.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like,
he was standing right on top.
Yeah, right on.
Well, they do that.
They don't mean to swing.
They do that so you can't swing. Yeah, but I was like, I wouldn't be doing that with civilians. I mean, somebody gets the
wall. I kicked him.
He was swinging on it. Yeah, but he was fine.
But he was just a Marine.
Yeah.
I liked the guy, actually. But I couldn't do 20. Now, I could do 25 in college.
Well, the thing is, there's a big difference between doing 15 Marine pull-ups and just doing 15 kind of partial sloppy.
No,
pull-ups.
I was. I had my
big
chin,
difference.
I had,
oh yeah,
I had to pull my chin over
all the way down, all the way up, every single time. And so,
man, I was sore though, boy.
Oh yeah, that when you do those full stretch. So again, there's all types of options, but diet comes down to burning body fat if you want 6-pack abs for the summer. And also, secondary note on that, if you're trying to burn body fat, the ProCut Core. Great formula to burn body fat. Also, too, make sure your thyroid's functioning properly. A lot of times people have a hard time losing body fat and weight fat around the midsection because the thyroid's sluggish, depending on what's in their diet, depending on fluoride exposure, depending on water. So make sure you got a good active thyroid. The thyroid support we have, I don't even run it much anymore because my thyroid levels are always really, really high naturally. Just I prized my diet. But if I start taking that thyroid support, I mean, I'll start dropping weight fast, shedding weight. And I'm very comfortable where I'm at right now. I don't want to shred down or cut anymore. And so be careful. But if you want to shred down, the thyroid support, great. ProCut Core.
We need to show that picture of you walking around without a shirt on up at the ranch in North Carolina carrying the
M4. Before
training. We have a gun.
Oh, that was a normal Tuesday afternoon.
That's so funny. Hey, we'll show the photo next week. Let's think he's joking. What's the next one?
You need intense workouts to get real health benefits. So I'm going to clarify this. When it says walking, you can basically, or moderate training for 30 minutes burns twice as many calories as basically just walking. It says walking a mile can burn around 100 calories, but running a mile burns about 20% more. A lot of this is going to come down to what your physical ability is, where you're trying to go, and what your goals are. If you're, getting older and you're having joint problems, going out and running 3 miles makes no sense at all. It doesn't. There's all types of other activities
you can
do.
And the problem is, it reminds me back of that one. What's that one thing that you do when you go out and you start picking up all this weight and you're 50.
CrossFit.
Oh, my
CrossFit.
Gosh. All you do is get hurt.
Well, the foundation of CrossFit, I've trained with it when I was younger. The base of some of the training, it goes back to a lot of military training. I like it. I hate the way they've aborted the entire concept.
They have you run on concrete.
Well, no, not even that. They got you doing stupid stuff. Like, how many clean and jerks can you do after you do a bunch of, basically low rows, after you do pull-ups, and then let's go run another mile. And the issue is that training conditionable for people that are going and athletes? Yes. The problem is they take people. I've watched them do this crap. They take civilians that are off the street or guys that have never worked out in years. I want to lose weight. Okay. And they put them in this incredibly complex training, aspect.
Not necessary.
Blow their shoulder out, blow a knee out, blow an ankle out.
Almost every time.
Yeah. And I've watched so many guys I know that started getting older in their 30s and 40s. Well, they're not older, but, hadn't worked out much. Suddenly I see them, they're in a sling, blew my rotator cuff out. I'm like, what are you doing? I was trying to do speed clean and jerks before we go do pull-ups. And I'm like, what? You haven't hit the weights in 15 years. That's what they started you on? You've got to get your body conditioned. Now, this is exactly right. I will agree with this. You don't need super intense workouts to get health benefits.
You don't.
You can get moderate training. Now, if you're still fairly young and you're trying to harden up and you're trying to really grow or stay in shape and have – basically, you want that look, that hard look, you've got to go really intense. Period.
And you got to eat clean.
You got to eat clean. If you want to be shredded, if you want to be veiny, if you want to be lean, if you want to be hard, you cannot do mild workouts a couple days a week. You have to train hard and you got to go to failure and you will actually look amazing, especially when you're younger.
But
just getting health benefits, exercise. It says going gluten-free is a healthier diet.
If you're not eating organic.
Yeah.
Because of glyphosate.
Here's the thing I got to clarify in this. Gluten-free foods, the gluten-free on all the packaging does not make it healthy. Let's clarify that.
No, and it doesn't mean it's glyphosate-free either.
Not at all.
Because they spray oats, too.
And usually gluten-free means it's corn-based.
Yeah.
A lot of products that say gluten-free.
And wheat-based.
Corn and wheat-based. And a lot of times you have these products that are ultra-processed foods, and they stamp gluten-free on the front because it doesn't have gluten. That by no means it's a healthy food option whatsoever. Now, because here's the thing you got to remember. Human beings have been eating gluten for thousands of years.
Roman Empire built their doggone armies on the wheat.
No issues. It's not a problem. The issue is when you start spraying stuff with glyphosate like they've done for 30 years, and you start consuming large amounts of this stuff, and the glyphosate, as we talked about, unbelievably wrecks your gut.
Because it messes up the glycine synthesis.
Yep.
Glycine.
Glycine. Because basically glycine, the amino acid, it fights for the same, basically, receptors. Glyphosate fills that. The body can't absorb nutrients.
And now the body's poisoned.
Body's poison, and then it starts rotting the gut lining, and that's why the collagen repairs it. You got to get off the glyphosate product.
Well, remember that day, just a couple days ago, I ate that doggone pita thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it was organic bread. I don't eat stuff like that very often. All of a sudden, there I was.
Yeah.
The next day, golf
foggy.
The beef
was good that I had. The fries, because remember, potatoes aren't really GMO.
No, but
avocado oil is not GMO.
But we don't know how long the avocado oil has been heated. We should have asked that.
But it's
question.
Not a seed oil.
No, it's not a
so
seed oil.
That's a good factor on it. Another one right here. Dark chocolate's
whatever.
Always good for you.
Whatever.
Well, that's the thing that everybody's just stop following. The thing about it is there's certain dark chocolates in certain areas of the world that can have health benefits to it. Sitting around going, well, I'm going to start eating a ton of dark chocolate every day because it's healthy.
Ridiculous.
It's the exact same concept where they went, well, if you drink basically, a bottle of red wine a night, it's got resveratrol in it, it's going to help you out. Don't go there for that. If you want nutrients, you want supplements, you want stuff, get isolated supplements. The problem is most places that have dark chocolate where they get their cacao or their chocolate from, a lot of it's contaminated with lead because it's from South America. So you've got to make sure if you're getting chocolate, I'm not saying don't eat chocolate. I love chocolate. I just don't eat it all the time. But you're trying to convince yourself, oh, I'm going to eat this because it's healthy. I'm going to start eating dark chocolate every day because it's got health benefits. There's a lot of other stuff you can do besides that. Now, this one says running can damage your joints.
It can.
I fully actually agree with that one. This now younger years, depending on what you're doing, depending on how you're conditioned, there's not an issue. But I've seen people that basically they've had joint problems in the past. They want to start running all the time, especially running on concrete.
Yeah, even walking,
it will start tearing you up long term. Period. Now, is it going to damage your joints out the gate or cause a bunch of problems when you're younger? Depends on what you're doing. Depends how long you're in. Depends on the shoes you're wearing. Depends on the terrain you're running in. But again, there's a lot of other exercises you can do besides going out and running for significant periods of time. And if you are going to be doing a lot of this cardiovascular training and running stuff like that, the collagen is absolutely crucial. And I'm telling you that just from a standpoint of you've got to give your body the raw nutrients to recover and repair. And that's where I think the article they talk about this, running isn't damaging on your joints. The factor that nobody ever talks about is what is the person's lifestyle and diet like when they're not running? You take a cohort of 100 people and they go run 1 mile a day. You're going to have a broad array of different factors that basically are invoked, right? Some people are probably going to start having a ton of knee issues. Why is that? Well, because they're probably super inflamed. They're not taking any supplements. They're not taking omega-3s. They're not taking collagen. And then the people that basically don't have any issues, they probably are taking really, really good care of themselves, and they're probably conditioned. So a lot of factors to play into that to be aware of. And this one, you need to stay awake after a concussion. So I
don't know enough about this one.
Heard this theory a lot when I was younger.
Me too.
Motocross. There's many a times. I mean, I got knocked out quite a few times. My good friends, he was over yesterday. He knocked out a bunch during motocross. It just happens when you race and you eat it hard. It says sleep is actually crucial for the brain healing after a concussion, though. That's what they're saying here, the doctors. It says the brain is the most important repair work during sleep. Clearing out metabolic waste and consolidating damaged neural pathways is important.
Now, read the last sentence. While sleep is safe after concussion, which may or may not be, this is just what this guy's saying, if someone shows symptoms of complications such as seizures, double vision, or worsening headache, they should not sleep. They should go to emergency room.
And that's where I think a lot of the theory came out with this, is if you have a mild concussion, it probably is best that you rest. If you have a very severe concussion, where you're vomiting profusely, which I have seen before, you need to go to the doctor.
They need to go to the hospital.
They need to do MRI.
You could have a brain bleed.
You need to do CAT scan on it. Yeah, because that brain bleeds are not a joke.
No, they can die.
They can cause serious issues, especially swelling on the brain. So that's the one you got to take as the situation takes it. I'm not going to give you much advice on that because, again, it varies. Accident, what happens with it. It says swelling after an injury should be treated. Breaking an ankle, injuries to joints, ligaments, tendons often lead to swelling. Many people think they need to start using large amounts of like anti-inflammatories
and ice.
And ice and stuff like that. That can be the case depending on what it is. It says the initial inflammatory response brings nutrients, immune cells, and growth factor to the injured area.
I disagree with this one too.
So it says, although inflammation is necessary for tissue repair, excess swelling is very much problematic. Uncontrolled inflammation can lead to damaged tissue, impaired healing, and trigger the formation of scar tissue. So I guess, again, this goes back to what the situation may be. If it's a mild inflammation, okay.
Well, if you tear something, it's got to be fixed. Okay,
that's different. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
if you pull something, I always ice it down because it keeps it from swelling. And I've learned something: when it starts swelling and starts cascading, especially if I have a back injury when I pulled a muscle, it causes me all kinds of problems. I stop that immediately.
And it says right here: while initial treatment, or it's referred to as RICE, rest, ice, compression, elevation, relief symptoms, injury should always be evaluated by a medical.
That's exactly right.
See, again, that's back to what you did, what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, if you step something, kind of twist your ankle, yeah, you're good. If you got a serious injury, oh man, I'm gonna throw some ice on it.
Like
your bones protruding, my friend. You have a compound fracture. That's fine. Throw some ice on it. No, go to the doctor. Go to the doctor and get an x-ray. This one right here, this is a big one. This is the lie, and here's the truth. It says most chronic diseases are incurable. It says while many chronic diseases can last a lifetime, there's growing evidence that certain conditions like type 2 diabetes, early stage heart disease, and others can be put into remission through lifestyle change.
Dr. Dean Ornish showed that you could actually reverse atherosclerotic plaque. He showed that with the testing that he did.
Yeah, and other doctors too have also discussed with type 2 diabetes as far as getting blood sugar back under control.
I don't give a start. Type 2 diabetes, dietary change, turmeric. You know, it's insulin support. No, that, we talk about it a lot. What's the
cinnamon extract?
Cinnamon, oh yeah.
On it. It says so many
healthy
patients.
Blood sugar.
Yes,
it
says identifying with their diagnosis essentially can become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, yeah. Stop eating high fructose corn syrup. Stop drinking sodas.
This is what he's talking about here, self-fulfilling prophecy. This is when somebody is eating sodas, candy, pastries, and they're developing type 2 diabetes.
Well, I guarantee the guy yesterday probably had type 2 diabetes. Who's sitting there?
The doctor comes in and he goes, "You're diabetic." And you go, "I knew it. I knew it was happening. I can't believe this happened to me. Well, I'm not going to change my lifestyle because I'm already diabetic now.
Have another cola.
I'm going to just start shooting insulin or do an insulin pump or go on metformin." And so what happens, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy of disease. They don't make the changes to get back to where they were. They keep doing the things that they did to get the type 2 diabetes, and then they just accept it and go on as, it's a disease, I'm a victim, I can't do anything about it. That is one of the worst places to be in your mindset, because that means you can't control or change anything with your body. It just happens to be there, and I'm going to let it go on while you continue to abuse it with horrible decisions. So that was the top 12 on here.
Good list.
That was interesting.
All right, now we're gonna do some seatbelt. All right, this is the one. Well, I'm gonna start with this is more this is just nonsense. Okay, we're talking about Jeff Bezos and his wife, and they're saying basically how the world now is seeing them, you know, in the new gilded age, like they're Jackie and Kennedy and Jackie Onassis and John F. K. and all this other stuff. You know what's funny to me, they say stuff like this with the Met Gala, Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez ushering a new gilded age, like the Vanderbilts in 1883, the billionaire disruptors have forced their way into the New York's fashion elite, and no one can ignore them or their money. You know, we can all vomit simultaneously now. I don't see Jeff Bezos or Lauren Sanchez as the new gilded age, as the new elite. They're pushing that narrative because the older elite that they used to throw in front of us have died.
Well, they got to replace them.
Old. That's right.
What this is again goes back to psychological warfare. You put certain people out there and you poise them as elite. You poise them as the upper level. You poise them as they're where they're at, and they're billionaires because they know what they're doing.
No, they're where they're at because they're Sabbatine Kabbalist, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan cutouts, and they were picked for that position.
There you go. But see, to the general population that can't ever figure out how to have concrete rational thought, they see this as the upper elite. They poise them in front of you as the elite. They're wealthy. They obviously know what they're doing, so we should listen to them. Bill Gates is a billionaire, so we should listen to his mandates on vaccines.
Scum.
Where the heck did that? When it came out during COVID, and I remember people were talking about it, and I said, where does he have anything to do? It's not like he's recommending or he's coming to my ideas. He's flat out telling the entire world on national television how you need to go get this shot and we're going to fix everything with vaccines. I'm like, who are you?
You know, and they bought the James Bond franchise. All right?
Oh, gosh.
You know, they were going to put that black lesbian looking girl on there as James Bond. Don't fuss at me. I said black again.
You shouldn't see color.
She's black. Why can't I say that? I mean, I'm not saying she's a bad actress. I'm just saying it's not James Bond. And, you know, the thing is, you think, well, are they going to really destroy the franchise? Why don't they just pick Henry Cavill? I mean, Henry Cavill played Superman. Great at it.
I'm sorry, guys, for some emails on this. I've been in combat sports my whole life.
There we go.
110-pound girls don't fight 250-pound guys in most cases ever win unless they are unbelievably trained athletes. And they know how to do immediate strikes before it escalates, meaning eye gouges, throat strikes, groin strikes, right out the gate before it escalates.
Only if the guy's not trained, period. Right.
Exactly. That concept just eludes a lot of people.
Well, now, since we want to believe the synagogue of Satan is a good group of people. Whoa, I just said that, didn't I? They're the ones who control Israel.
No.
You know, a lot of people confuse the Jews with the synagogue of Satan. They're not Jews. You know, Hillary Clinton, synagogue of Satan.
Well, and there's Bill also, Clinton, and let me clarify this. We need to clarify this. A lot of people take the entire aspect of there's still Jewish individuals that follow the Torah.
You know.
But the ones that run the country, the Jewish government in Israel, the IDF and all that, they don't care.
You know what they do? The IDF is they're mercenary. They have no mercy.
No, zero.
These people in Gaza were coming up to the food aid stations.
I watched the interview. There's an interview on this, by the way.
No. And if they didn't leave within 15 minutes, they were gunned down.
Yeah, shot them.
Children. And it didn't make any difference. You got 15 minutes to get your food. Then we're going to kill you.
UK officer that was stationed with him. He did an interview on him. I'll post a video if you guys want to watch it. It's rough. And he talks about it. This guy's a combat veteran. He goes, dude, we're providing overwatch to IDF. And he goes, IDF's completely out of control. He goes, they joke about it. He goes, they got 15 minutes to get the food. He goes, and they just start shooting them at will. These are unarmed civilians trying to get food. They just drop them. He said, they shot a 12-year-old kid in the shoulder, let him bleed out. Just let him bleed out on the bridge.
Oh, by the way, Israel's now run by the synagogue of Satan, war criminal, long-term, unbelievable criminal, under indictment Benjamin Netanyahu. Israel to host the largest ever four-day Middle East gay pride land at the Dead Sea in June. Maybe Iran's going to hit him with missiles. That's terrible, isn't it?
Here's the problem. I don't care what anybody does with their own personal life. That's between you and God. The problem that I have is you trying to masquerade is that you're the Christian's greatest ally, the evangelical churches in the United States, and then they're sitting here saying that the entire government of Israel actually has promoted this now. They're the ones that actually hosted this, and they're actually funding this. This is an issue that I have. It says the nation of Israel officially announced to be hosting what they've called the largest ever gay pride LGBTQIA.
Whatever.
God, I mean, they put in there. We'll just put the alphabet and say all 20. Whatever, man.
Why are they our poop-throwing monkey? I don't want them to be our poop-throwing monkey.
Well, my question is, why are so many of the people I still know in the Christian evangelical still giving money to this operation?
Let me tell you a minute.
That's my million-dollar question. Greatest ally doesn't work anymore, guys. That concept eludes everybody. To be an ally, you actually have to be a friend of someone. You actually have to care about them. You have to support them. You have to have their back. They do nothing but siphon off of us and then do stuff like
this. The space is safe and inviting for children with activities and content for all ages. They want you to bring your kids.
They say that.
They say that. Yeah, well, you can read the article yourself. You know,
it's a four-day orgy.
Let me stop for one second. Okay, this is an article by Paul Craig. Not one Paul Craig. It was a Baldwin. And he goes, and this is very well read, he goes, Israeli Zionists, this is a political party, and this is the synagogue of Satan, believe and act out of extreme ethos of ethno-supremacy. In other words, their DNA is better than your DNA. They genuinely believe that Gentiles, non-Israeli Jews, and Jews being defined by race or religion, are subhuman. They are animals, we are, the Gentiles, the Goy, to either be slaughtered or used as slaves for the chosen race. In the end, this means they must destroy and enslave all Gentiles, including Christian Zionists, Christians in Europe and America. They believe this. On the other hand, Christian Zionists believe and act out of extreme interpretation of eschatological doctrine as taught by evangelical premillennial people like John Hagee and Cyrus Schofield, etc. According to the eschatological doctrine of these religious extremists, the Israeli state conceived in 1948 is in fulfillment of biblical prophecy signaling the end time of Christ's second coming. But this is where it gets weird. The physical existence of the Zionist state is not enough. Israel must listen to this. This is so important. Listen to it. Explains the Greater Israel Program.
Yeah.
The physical existence of the Zionist state is not enough. Israel must capture all the landmass that was once controlled by the Old Testament, King David and Solomon before Christ can return. They believe they've got to have the Greater Israel Program impact with the expansion of Israel before their Meshuggah will show up.
Hence them taking over Lebanon.
The avant-garde euphemism for this territory is Greater Israel. It includes large chunks of the land of Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, even up to southeast Turkey. Therefore, evangelical Christian Zionists are fanatically supporting Israel today in an attempted military contest of all these countries, including Iran, which is seen as a prophetic enemy of Israel, to fulfill the delusional fanaticism of Schofield futurism through dispensationalism. I mean, it's unbelievable how you can read the whole article. I've got it posted. But this is what they believe. That's the same group now that's bringing the giant gay pride event. Now,
correct, that's my point.
Now personally, here's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be a dud. I don't think it's going to show up for this thing. Well, they will, but not like they want because
of the
war.
There's so much conflict right now, yeah.
Well, Iran may look at them and go, because Iran really hates gays. That's their opinion. The Quran doesn't play that game, right? And so if they have the opportunity now to go ahead and drop a bunch of bombs.
You guys thought about something. Think about this play. They're having this event. They're going to draw in a ton of people. Iran sees it as a target. Iran attacked everybody while they were at a parade. It was supposed to be a peace parade. Now we have the excuse again to go further.
And they want to make sure you bring children to this.
Launching nukes.
Now, whatever they say. This is pure speculation.
No, just think about it, though. For a second, from a theory standpoint, it makes sense. You draw in something like this to civilians. Remember how they already set this up for October 7th with Hamas? You not remember how they already did this? They were in the middle of having the giant gay pride orgy on October 7th. Big party. They're partying all night. And then the guys on the hang gliders. Oh, there's no Iron Dome up. Oh, all the IDF defenses in the fence. No, we're going to fly over their hang gliders and drop frag grenades.
No, it wasn't even. Mossad was flying the hang gliders. That's why they didn't want to shoot. They were doing self-inflicted. This was a false flag.
The fact that they have such a surveillance state, and this is what Charlie Kirk said right at the end, like 5 weeks before they killed him. He came over and said, I want to know if there's a stand-down order. Because nobody's answered that question to me. He goes, I've flown over Jerusalem. I've flown over Israel. He goes, you can't walk 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old IDF soldier with a machine gun. And suddenly, there's just nobody's around. And then you had that doggone IDF soldier that was mortar patrol, or as his infantry patrol. And he came in and he said, yeah, they told us basically stand down. They pulled us out.
Now, I'm going to tell you something happened to me this morning.
What happened to you this morning?
I should tell you this. He didn't say it was confidence, though. Mankow was going to visit me this week.
Yep.
And what's interesting is he said he wasn't sure if he's coming today or tomorrow or, you know, going to show up because he wants to go see Roger Stone.
Okay.
Now, I know Roger Stone. And he said that Roger Stone has been talking to Trump a lot.
Okay.
And Trump has told Roger Stone that there is overwhelming support from almost every poll taken in America for the Iran war.
I don't agree with that.
No, it's not. Maybe Jared Kushner's poll of, you know, Christian Zionists.
Well, the thing is, polls are very easy to manipulate if you want to.
No, but Trump believes this. Trump doesn't realize.
I see what you're saying now. They're coming with him stuff that they're manipulating.
Well, Roger Stone said they're lying to you. You know, this is not true. Nobody wants this war. It's the most unpopular war since the Korean War.
You think about it, though, because they always say this. Basically, you know, the king, the Caesar, the president, he's only as good as his cabinet.
You know. And Michael Jackson's dad last night in that movie had a very interesting quote because they played him to be a really bad guy, right? Because he disciplined his kids. Really bad guy they played him to be. And he says to Michael Jackson when he fires his dad, right, from being his publicist and producer and all that, he says, you don't understand what's fixing to happen to you. He says, you're about to surround yourself with yes men.
Yes men.
He said, they're going to
push the agenda they want you to do.
They're going to tell you everything you say is right. Everything you do is right. Everything you want to do is going to be right. And they're going to promote whatever you want. And it doesn't matter if it's wrong or right.
But that one officer, that podcast I watched, that officer, basically, he was a U.S. military retired officer. He said that is that they had told, Hegseth told Trump and all them that this war was going to be over in like 2 or 3 days.
No.
That we're going to do a blitzkrieg.
Well, no.
A thousand targets, and it was going to be done in and out. He said that.
Now, well, the truth is, do I believe that Trump is fully... I don't believe that Trump really, at this point in his life, with all the health problems that he's having, is fully cognitively aware, especially drinking a gallon of diet sodas a day. I've talked about this a million times because they keep showing him bruises all over him, ankles swollen up. I mean, he's having some serious health problems.
Well, and it doesn't help if you have everybody around you.
Telling you,
because you got to think about this from this position. You know, that's not a low-stress position.
And then Roger Stone told, because Roger Stone's saying he's a Christian now, he goes, man, you don't understand here. This isn't Jews doing this.
Synagogue. That's what I'm saying.
He goes, Roger Stone says, this is a synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
And Roger Stone told Mankow that. He goes, we have two separate groups here. You got Jews, well, three separate groups. You got Jews, you got Christians, you got synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
The problem is synagogue of Satan controls the media.
And they masquerade as Jews. That's what remember that Jesus said this in John chapter 8. I've called that verse so many times. He goes, well, our father's Abraham. He goes, your actual father lineage may go back to Abraham, but your father is not the father in heaven. He's not the father of him. He goes, your father is Lucifer. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, that was your five-point harness that you needed.
Five-point harness to fall down. This interesting one here, I'm a little perturbed back and forth on this because now Robert F. Kennedy met with senators. They had a big senator meeting last week, and he basically went off on glyphosate. And he's talking about how bad glyphosate is and how it doesn't...
Over 20 different types of cancers.
Right. But here's the odd part. And this is one thing that I haven't really understood. And I don't know if it's because he's changed his mind on this or what. He went out and said, and I quote, he said, safe, it kills weeds, yes. I would say it's important to minimize consumption of glyphosate as much as possible because it's been linked to cancer. Schwartz told Kennedy he's been uncharacteristically diplomatic about glyphosate, which Kennedy basically denied. But Kennedy helped secure a $289 million award from Monsanto in 2018 while presiding a client who allegedly Roundup caused him to develop non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now Kennedy is a leading health official for an administration that is defending Monsanto in Supreme Court case for an oral argument just days after the health secretary's testimony. That case, known as Monsanto versus Dernal, similarly involves a man alleging Roundup caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Yeah, it says President Donald Trump addressed the issue on Friday, signed executive order. They said glyphosate-based herbicides were critical to the nation's economy and national security. Any major restrictions in access to glyphosate-based herbicides would result in economic loss for growers and make untenable for them to meet growing food and feed demands. Now, he's not wrong in essence with this now because of where we've gotten. Here's the problem. Because there's so many crops and producers that are using glyphosate now,
resistant seeds.
If you actually came in and said, we're pulling all glyphosate off the market, we're recalling every ounce that's been produced, you would have an enormous explosion in weeds as far as hyperweeds that would start growing with these crops that you couldn't control because of this problem that we've exacerbated now. So he's right in the essence of if you do major restrictions to glyphosate, it's going to wipe out an enormous amount of crops. They're not going to be able to grow properly. The problem is, how did we get here and how do we get back from it?
Well, also remember, glyphosate stops it. The way it kills plants is it stops the absorption of certain nutrients.
Right.
Well, it does the same thing to
humans.
Okay, it doesn't change, so it does. And the problem with that is you stop getting certain nutrients, you start having degenerative diseases from a lack of specific nutrients. And on top of that, you have the glycine part of it, you know, being completely displaced by the glyphosate part of it. And now you can't produce stomach lining. That's why you have all these animals that they show pictures of. You look at our website, you'll see it. Rats with giant tumors on them, okay, that have been raised on GMO corn with glyphosate. It destroys the gut lining. And it does the same thing to humans. That's why we're having all these young kids now with colorectal cancer and all kinds of celiac disease and everything else. In my opinion, is because of the contamination of the food supply. I've got a friend of mine from Germany, and she said, you know, you can't even eat the bread here. It's awful. You feel horrible.
No, you go over to Europe, you bread. That's what I said earlier about the whole gluten thing. Everybody in the United States is always gluten-free. Well, I get it. The bread's exposed to glyphosate. It wrecks your gut. You eat real, true bread that doesn't have any glyphosate exposure. It doesn't do that to you. Mm-hmm. And Kenny said here, he said, pesticides and herbicides are toxic by design. Unfortunately, our agricultural system depends heavily on these chemicals.
Monopolies. BlackRock, right. Straight Street, Vanguard own all the stuff and all these major farms.
With Bayer. And so the thing about it is, where do you go back from this? When do you start making changes on it? The problem is they're not doing anything. So you've got to start making changes. So I tell people all the time, what can you do to make changes? I was talking to a friend the other day, talking about going to I'm about sick of going to commissioner meetings and committee meetings. I've done those for years.
Kevin told us to waste time.
Well, no, now it's done with the FWC, Florida Wildlife Commission, because they're getting so much flack because half the people in the Florida Wildlife Commission, so I'm about to go get involved with this now. Again, and so they're going up there because the Florida Wildlife is they're going in and allowing all these massive areas that are old Florida reserve areas and preservations and stuff to maintain the environment of Florida. We're going to put a golf course in. How about you take the other, I don't know, I think there's 19 or 20 other golf courses in the state of Florida that are currently abandoned right now that nothing's being done with.
Oh, more than that.
Well, that's what's currently on the books, like major golf courses, not like some small ones, like major ones, abandoned, done. I mean, there was one right down the road from on us at 33. Remember, I forget, Hammock, the one on 33. Mm-hmm. And they now, for a decade, it just disappeared. It turned from a golf course to an off-road park. Wasn't a legit off-road park. We used to go out there. There was no trespassing signs, nothing.
Now it's warehouses.
And so I'm like, okay, why do we need more golf courses? Like, you're going to go in and you're going to strip mine an entire area. And so now we're getting involved with all this stuff. They're getting attorneys under from the FWC. Everybody's getting sued again because this is a problem. You get the developers that are getting on the commissioner boards and nobody wants to vote them out. That's why it's so important, guys, that you actually find out who you're voting on in local elections, too. Everyone wants to focus on the presidential election. Quite frankly, that's going to be whatever they want it to be. The local stuff, that's why when the school board was doing the stuff with the mask with the kids, we got massively involved in that, going to the meetings and raising Cain about it and doing videos on it and coming in there with a dozen different articles. I read in front of the Polk County Commissioner School Board. I said, these masks do not help these kids. They're causing negative effects.
Which did raise Cain.
Oh, yeah. So finally, they dropped the mask mandate, and we voted out about 70-80% of the people that are on the board.
Yeah, it's funny. We're in there, and they stopped about three quarters from testifying. They had a restriction on how many people go in. So Austin and I walk in, the sheriff there, and we looked at him, and he said, if we don't wear a mask, you going to arrest us?
Yeah.
We refuse to wear a mask. He goes, no, I'm not going to arrest you. Radio Joe would never let us do that. I said, okay, great. So we walked in, and I raised Cain. We had our 3 minutes of fame, right?
But everybody was pushing in there.
No, listen to this. And so we walked back out. Austin and I walked outside. And everybody was hung out outside because they couldn't go in. And everybody started applauding
us.
Because, I mean, I tore into them about the Frankfurt School and everything else. And we talked about, you know, if a good man doesn't do anything, then only bad will prevail. And I talked about the lesbian agenda on the school board, looking at the lesbian who was there, looked like she was going to kill me. I was crazy how she was looking at me. And then she was voted out, by the way.
Yep.
And then what was crazy about this is we posted, Michael Bear put a video together of us speaking.
Yeah, I remember this, yeah.
Now, this is a public meeting.
Yeah.
Remember?
So it
was taken down within minutes.
No, here's the thing, that the public meeting, because it was public, it was broadcasted and saved on YouTube.
All of it.
Start to finish. It was on their site from the Florida School Board on the meeting on YouTube. We had Michael Baird, our marketing director. He took our clip out of that and he posted it on YouTube of our section talking, and YouTube immediately pulled it down within 20 minutes.
It went viral. It was going viral.
Oh, it went nuts. I mean, within like 5 minutes, it had thousands and thousands of views. I mean, it was going up. And all of a sudden, YouTube, this violates our guidelines on YouTube. And we appealed it. They denied it again. We appealed it again. Said, the same video here is posted in an entirety. Doesn't matter. This violates our guidelines.
Well, no, finally, several weeks later, Michael Perry got it posted, but the momentum was gone.
Well, it was gone, and we kept fighting and fighting.
And then
fighting.
They just used the algorithms to black us out.
Then it stopped moving.
And hence why we can't get on YouTube with any of these shows. You know what's funny to me? So many people out there that are alt media get to go on YouTube, but not the Ted and Austin Brewer show. Maybe it's because of shows like today.
Well, we'll do more snippets.
Well, we are the ultimate opportunity to offend everybody, people, I guess.
Whatever, man. You got to do what you got to do.
We warned you about what Trump was going to do in office. We did, and he has. We warned you during COVID about what they're going to do with those masks and all these stupid shots. We warned everybody.
The thing is civil disobedience is crucial in an out-of-control government. You can't sit there and keep saying, well, it's a mandate.
But then the government thinks it's okay when you do that.
Right, because you basically have agreement through complacency. You're not doing anything while they do it to you and you don't push back, so you're automatically consenting to them.
That's the vampire at the door.
Exactly.
You let them in.
And so that's what I told so many people. I said, you don't necessarily have to go out and go, you know, try to start rallies across the country. I said, just don't follow orders. Don't follow constitutional orders, and everybody around you do the same. And suddenly, things change really, really quick when these individuals realize they're not going to be put up and we're going to call them out. So again, my friends, thank you for coming to the show today. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. We try to bring you guys the highest quality supplements, as you know, and bring you guys the truth of what's happening. Whether you agree with me or not, it's okay. I'm still friends with you guys at Health Masters, and I hope you guys make us your continual Health Masters family. We're here to help you guys out. So you pick up the phone, call us. We're here to help. If you call us up and you act belligerent, you're going to be hung up on. You're going to be blocked. I'm letting you know that right now. I had an issue yesterday with a customer that kept calling the office. You are blocked. You will no longer be called. You'll be blacklisted. And they never bought anything. They weren't customers.
Well, they never buy
anything. They're being belligerent. So just let you know that. And then if you continue, then we'll do basically backtrace on the phone number. Then we'll go.
Wow, that was bad for you to bring it up on the show. By the way, I love you. I'm going to be in church on Sunday, hopefully with ManCow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
You want me to go to Disney? I said, I'm going to pass on that. Yeah,
like the hard pass.
No, man, I don't have enough. But I love ManCow, great guy, great friend for about 20 years now. So you guys, I hope to see you in church. Remember, you keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of faith. Because this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad of it. Thank you for complimenting us and saying you'd enjoy the show with a little more humor in it. I like doing it this way. That's kind of my personality anyhow, because, well, it makes it more fun. And I learned something. The first thing you got to do when you have a guest or you have somebody on a show with you, you got to make sure you keep the audience entertaining them. So we try to entertain you.
And bring you truth.
But sometimes we're like a cross-eyed discus thrower. we may not set any records, but we'll keep the crowd alert. Hey, I love you guys, and Jesus loves you too. Thanks for your support.
Have a good weekend, friends. Talk to you all next week.